Welcome to this podcast for the months of May and June. Whilst the evenings of May and June can be amongst the most comfortable for observing, at these northern latitudes it doesn't get dark until very late, and in much of June it doesn't get truly dark at all. From around the third week of May, and for the whole of June and early July, the sun does not set far enough below the horizon for the sky to be astronomically dark. However, by about 11:30, even in late June, it's dark enough to do some stargazing for a few hours, and on a warm evening it can be a delight. At this time of year, the Milky Way, the misty band of light that is our own galaxy, is low down on the eastern horizon, so when we look up, instead of looking at the nebulae and star clusters of our own galaxy, we find ourselves looking out into intergalactic space. This is the part of the sky that many astronomers love, because it's where we find the realm of the galaxies. To see the galaxies, you really need to use a telescope. Most of them are not bright enough to see, even with binoculars, but there are still plenty of other things to see, even just by eye. Because the nights are so short at this time of year, objects that may be seen well in May will often be lost in the twilight by late June. So this session is in two halves, with the constellations in the first half best being seen in May. If you're looking just after dark in early May, look to the southwest and quite high in the sky. You're looking for a shape a bit like a backward question mark with a bright white star at the bottom where the dot would be. The question mark is an asterism or pattern of stars that is sometimes called the sickle. There are not many bright stars in that part of the sky, so this one should stand out. The bright star is called Regulus, and it's the brightest star in the constellation of Leo the Lion. Leo is one constellation that actually does look like what it's supposed to represent. Legend has it that it's the lion that Hercules killed as one of his 12 labours. Regulus is the lion's front leg. The curve of the question mark is its head looking to the west, and its body stretches out to another reasonably bright star just to the east. That star is called Denebola. If you now go back to Regulus, then move your eye to the star above it, which is quite a bit dimmer, then to the star above that, you've come to the neck of the lion. That star is called Aljaba, which for some reason means the forehead in Arabic, despite the fact it's nowhere near the head. It's regarded by many astronomers as one of the most beautiful double stars in the sky. You will need to look at it with binoculars to see it, and with a telescope it is truly amazing. One of the stars is orangey-red, and the other is greenish-yellow, a stunning contrast. Both stars are much bigger and more luminous than the Sun, and they are around 130 light-years away. Regulus itself is also a double star, and its companion can be seen in amateur telescopes. The second brightest star in Leo, Denebola, gets its name from the Arabic expression meaning tail of the lion, as it is indeed where one would imagine the tail would be. Denebola is a bright young star. It's bigger and more massive than the Sun, and only one-tenth of the Sun's age. It's fairly near at about 36 light-years away. Using some of the world's largest telescopes has shown Denebola to have a disk of material surrounding it almost 40 times as far from the star as the Earth is from the Sun. This is interpreted as materials that may go on to form planets as the system matures, and a bit what the Sun would have looked like over 4 billion years ago. Now look to your left or east from Denebola by about the distance between Denebola and Regulus, and you should be able to see a very bright star out on its own. This star is Arcturus, and it's the brightest star in the northern sky. Sirius, that we've met in other sessions, is brighter, but that's in the southern celestial hemisphere. Arcturus gets its name from an ancient Greek expression meaning guardian of the bear. It has a slightly orangey-yellow colour because it's a mature red giant. It is in the constellation of Boötes, the herdsman. The constellation of Boötes stretches north from Arcturus and looks like a large kite. With Arcturus high in the sky, it appears to be about as far as it can get from the Milky Way, which is near to the horizon, and is in fact close to what is called the galactic pole. If you imagine the galaxy as a huge spinning top, Arcturus is where the central stick would appear to point to in the sky. Although Arcturus is about the same mass as our own Sun, it's reached maturity. It's over 7 billion years old and has swollen up to a size 25 times bigger than the Sun. Because the size of a star has a big influence on its brightness, Arcturus is some 170 times brighter. Another reason for it being bright from Earth is that it's relatively close, at only 37 light-years away. When Arcturus is due south from you, look down towards the horizon, and you should see another prominent star with no bright stars anywhere near to it. This is Spica. It's the brightest star in the constellation of Virgo. These constellations are not easy to make out, as it's near to the horizon where the atmosphere is thickest and least transparent, and also because apart from Spica, the other stars are all fairly dim. A triangle that joins Spica up to Regulus in Leo, and back across to Arcturus, then down to Spica, is called the Spring Triangle. Asterisms such as the Spring and Summer Triangle can be useful to help us remember where things are. We will now look for a couple more stars in Virgo. If you look to the right or west of Spica, and just up a little, you should come to the next, although somewhat dimmer star. This is called Porrima. This star is named after an ancient Roman goddess. It's quite close at 39 light-years. I say it, but it would be more accurate to say they, for Porrima is a nice double star that can presently be seen reasonably easily in a telescope as two almost identical white stars. Only 10 years ago, though, the two stars were so close that it was much harder to see them as two. The stars orbit each other and take almost 170 years to do a full circuit, but it does mean that sometimes we're unable to see them as a pair from Earth. From Porrima, move your eyes vertically up and you'll come to a slightly reddish star. This is Minilauva, which is a red giant, but not very bright because it's a long way away at almost 200 light years. Keep going up and a bit to your right, or west, and you'll come to a brighter white star. This is called Vindemiatrix. Its name means grape harvestress, as when it first rose in the autumn in ancient times, it was taken as a sign that the grapes should be picked. This is another swollen giant star that has reached the end of its days by exhausting all of its hydrogen fuel. Spica, Porrima and Vindemiatrix are the three brightest stars in Virgo. Now, the next constellation can be a bit of a challenge for beginners, but there's a cheat to help us find it. Straight above Vindemiatrix is a very faint constellation called Coma Berenices. The name simply means the hair of Berenices and refers to Queen Berenice II of Egypt, who sacrificed her long hair as a votive offering around 245 BCE. Basically, the constellation consists of three quite dim stars. However, if you look in the general area above Vindemiatrix on a dark, clear night, you should be able to make out a hazy patch of light. You are looking at the Coma star cluster and the supposed hair of Queen Berenice. It's very much easier to see with binoculars, but much too big for a telescope. It contains around 50 stars and will more than fill the field of even a small pair of binoculars. Although the constellation may not look much to the naked eye, it's a very important part of the sky for astronomers, as it contains the Coma supercluster. This is a huge cluster of more than 3,000 galaxies, and is some 20 million light-years across. Galaxies are not spread evenly throughout the universe. They tend to form clumps and filaments, and this is one of those clumps. The constellation also contains 8 galaxies that can easily be seen with an amateur telescope. In fact, there are so many galaxies in this part of the sky that the area between Coma Berenices, Leo and Virgo is sometimes called the Realm of Galaxies. We're now going to leave the galaxies and head east towards the Milky Way, which is low on the eastern horizon. From Coma Berenices, look to your left or east and back to Arcturus, the very bright star that we looked at before in Boötes. Look again to see the kite-shaped constellation that stretches north from this star. Look about halfway up the kite that consists of 5 stars above Arcturus. Then move your eyes just to the left or east of Boötes and you should be able to make out a distinct semicircle of stars. It's not particularly bright and in fact it only has one reasonably bright star called Alpheca, but it's fairly easy to see. This is the northern crown or Corona Borealis. It is said to represent the crown of Ariadne, daughter of King Minos in Greek mythology, who helped the hero Theseus kill the Minotaur and find his way out of the labyrinth. We will use this constellation as a stopping point on our way to the next one, which is Hercules. Hercules is another constellation that's not very bright, but unlike Corona Borealis, it's rather straggling, so can be hard to see at first. Imagine, if you will, a line drawn in the sky starting at Arcturus in Boötes and passing up through Alpheca in Corona Borealis. Extend it beyond the crown, and the next star you come to is a star in the body of Hercules. The body of Hercules looks like a four-sided keystone, the tapering stone that you can sometimes see in the top of stone arches. The star we have just found is on the lower right of the keystone. Try to find the three more stars that make up the complete shape. It can be a bit tricky at first, but once you've seen it, you'll be able to find it again. Now, our next object needs a pair of binoculars or a telescope to see. Start with the star in the bottom right of the keystone, the first one we found with the line from Arcturus and Alpheca. Now, scan the sky with your binoculars about two-thirds of the way up a line from this star to the star in the top right of the keystone. You should suddenly see a bright, hazy blob of light. This is the Hercules globular cluster, probably the finest globular cluster in the Northern Hemisphere. We've met open clusters a few times, such as the one in Coma Berenices. They have hundreds, or at most a few thousand stars in them. Globular clusters are something quite different and contain hundreds of thousands of stars. In a telescope, the Hercules cluster is incredible. It's hard to believe so many stars could be crammed into such a ball. If you were standing on a world orbiting a star near the centre of the cluster and you looked into the night sky, all you would see is incredibly bright stars. Globular clusters orbit the centre of the galaxy and can be found above and below the galaxy's disk. They're incredibly old structures, and their origin is still the subject of a lot of debate by scientists. This particular one is about 23,000 light-years away, almost 12 billion years old, and 145 light-years in diameter. In this session, we've looked at the classical constellation of Leo that contains the beautiful double star Algeber. We then found the brilliant orange Arcturus in Boötes. We move down to the constellation of Virgo, then back up through the realm of galaxies to Coma Berenices to see the Coma Cluster. We then moved east, back to Boötes, and onto the Northern Crown. Finally, we look for the keystone of the body of Hercules and the magnificent globular cluster. We've covered a large piece of sky, and you may find a star chart or phone app will help you locate some of the more difficult objects. For experienced observers with telescopes, this is a very rich area of sky for deep sky objects, particularly galaxies and globular clusters, although there's still plenty to see with binoculars and the naked eye. As with anything, practice makes perfect. Thanks for listening, and keep looking up. This project has received funding via the Regional Tourism Engagement Fund and supported through the Welsh Government Rural Communities Rural Development Programme 2014-2020, which is funded by the European Agricultural Fund for Rural Development and the Welsh Government, the fund to improve the visitor experience and create stronger destinations by working together.